This is Dave Fleming at the Ingenuity Lab. Welcome to another installment of Thriving Together, the Monday edition, where we explore insights and ideas that help us live and lead better. It's always good to be with you, TEP and UNS Tribe, and today we're going to explore the second part of ideas that we've been looking at. If you remember in part one of this installment, we looked at two realities that undo leaders almost like no other. The first reality is things take longer than I think they will. Things take longer than I think. And the second, things are more complex than I expect. Things take longer than I thought they would. And number two, things are more complex than I expected they would be. Now, when we don't honor these realities, they quietly sabotage our plans, our works, our work, and our dreams. So today, what I'd like to do is talk about some actions you can take that will not only honor these realities, but actually leverage them. They can become great allies, actually. But we have to know what actions to take to honor them. The first action that we can take that will help us to honor the fact that things take longer than we thought and are more complex than we expected is this. Breathe more margin into your world and slow down. Breathe more margin into the world, your project, your initiative, your decision-making process. Put more margin in it and slow down. Okay. Let's talk about deadlines for a moment. Sometimes there are deadlines that really are not up to us. They're imposed from external forces. And they're unrealistic. Now, I'm not going to talk about what you should try to do over the long haul to help a person who is giving you unrealistic deadlines, to help them reshape how they create their expectations for work that needs to be done. That's another episode. What I want to really focus on here is that many deadlines, many timeframes are self-imposed, meaning either I'm creating the deadline or a group of leaders are together creating the deadline, and they are letting some internal pressure shrink that deadline in ways that are not necessary, which then only makes it more likely that when things take longer than you think they will, and when things are more complex than you expected they would be, guess what? Your deadlines are either going to have to be quickly shifted, or there's going to be enormous amounts of work that have to be done, and a toll that will be taken in order to get it done, in order to meet that deadline. Now, there's a couple ways that you can breathe margin and slow down. One is when you're in the design phase, which, by the way, we rush the design phase so often of decisions we have to make or of projects that we're going to work on. We rush the design. Stopping and really thinking in the design phase about how much margin and time we should give this project, this piece of work, and then adding more time on the back end of that. Add another month onto that. is one way to create that margin. And you might think, well, isn't that just delaying work that needs to be done? Where's the urgency in that? No, not necessarily. Now, that can be an issue. Some people might be creating margin because they're lazy or they're procrastinators, but this is a different issue. The issue we're talking about right now is when we create unrealistic deadlines that are self-imposed and actually end up diminishing the quality of the work because we're hurrying, we're rushing, we're last-minuting. Put margin up front before you're emotionally invested in a deadline. You can also sometimes breathe margin right in the middle of a project or an initiative or a piece of work. Just breathe it right in. Extend it. This is not always about unnecessary delay. This is sometimes about smart expansion of the time needed to create the quality product or project that will actually save you time and increase effectiveness in the future. So you do have to decide, is this one of those moments where we have to really push hard to get through because the deadline is something we must honor? Or are we self-imposing something that's going to create, in the long run, more work because the quality of what we're doing is laced with hurry, frustration, and a lack of really considering what it is that needed to be a part of the work in the first place? Breathe margin. Breathe margin, then slow down. Slow down. Why are we in such a hurry? Why are we in such a hurry? Especially when we're trying to produce something that we want it to last in a way that creates more effectiveness in our organization. Why do we want to hurry through that? Hurrying through something reduces, again, the quality of the end product. Having my internal self regulated to a place where I'm slowing down, I'm being thoughtful, I'm considering as many of the angles in on this situation, and I'm including the right people with me in these conversations, again, can actually help us move quicker in the future. The way my wife talks about this in her work is slow down to speed up. Slow down to speed up. And we all know this. When we get ourselves in a hurry and we're trying to get somewhere quickly, we make more mistakes, we fall all over ourselves, and we end up having to redo, undo, or last minute. Breathing margin and slowing down, breathing margin into the work and slowing down to really bring our best to be thoughtful and strategic and focused actually can make us move faster. And honor that things usually take longer and are more complex. Breathe margin, slow down. The second action you can take that will help you honor the two realities is this. Expect things to not go the way you thought they would. Then if they happen to go that way, celebrate like crazy. But if they don't, adapt along the way with the first action in mind. When you are moving through work and something shifts, the sign of an ingenious, innovative, creative organization is that they do not freak out in those moments. They are expecting those moments. They are expecting problems. They are expecting obstacles. As Ryan Holiday puts it in his book, the obstacle is the way. This is at the heart of ingenuity. Challenges and obstacles and constraints are not meant to keep us from the way. They are the way to be creative in our solution making and in our work. Expect things to not go the way you thought they were going to. Don't freak out when that happens. The less ingenious organizations I've worked with over the years, when problems, challenges, and obstacles come their way, here's their attitude. Oh, really? Really?
Really?
The more ingenious organizations I've worked with, here's their response. Well, of course. I mean, kind of duh. Oh, welcome, problem. Welcome, challenge. Welcome, unexpected thing we did not see. We've been expecting you. We didn't know what you would look like. But now that you're here, we will adapt and overcome. Expect that things are going to change. See the unforeseen problems and obstacles as part of the work, not an irritating interruption in it. See it as part of the work. Then you will be able to more creatively and ingeniously overcome it with the resources that you have. You may still be able to keep your same deadlines if you breathed enough margin at the beginning, or you may have to shift. You may have to add more time. And by the way, I'm not talking about just delaying forever. Don't go there. That is so usually not the problem in American organizations. American organizations usually aren't unnecessarily delaying. Maybe certain individuals in an organization are. But a lot of American organizations are hurrying to the next thing before they've really done the due diligence and quality on the thing they're currently doing. It may be why so many businesses are in trouble right now during the pandemic. Because they hurried their way to a business model that was not sustainable. Expect things to go wrong. Wrong meaning different than you thought. Expect there to be challenges and problems. Adapt accordingly. See it as part of the work. Put the margin in that allows for that extra time needed to adapt to the unforeseen. And then if you don't have to adapt, yay, celebrate, and you have extra time. Here's one other action you can take. Stay relationally connected to others who are involved in the work. As a leader, stay relationally connected, meaning keep your relationships healthy with each other. What happens when people do not honor the realities of It takes longer than I thought, and it's more complex than I expected, is that they get themselves collectively in a tizzy over trying to finish something too fast. It creates frustration. It creates bitterness. It creates a feeling of being taken advantage of. It creates all kinds of relational breakdowns. Workplace relational breakdowns reduce effectiveness and productivity. Relationships at work matter. This isn't about being best friends. That's not even on the table here. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the quality of our cohesive relationship, that you know I care for you, and you know that I want to create a relational dynamic between us that allows us to have honest conversations about what's going on, about how we might have to shift work, and about how the work is affecting you. How the stress is affecting you. And we're also working to create ways for you to have moments and seasons of rest and recreation and wellness. You care about these things at TEP. You care about these things. It's obvious. I see it. But in the midst of the stress of the work, it's easy to let the noise that comes from self-imposed deadlines that are not realistic, it's easy to let the noise from that diminish the value of wellness and relationship, and specifically, wellness in relationship. Build the relational capacity and capital with those you work with so that as you go through times of high stress, change, the need to adapt, the hard work of bringing change to an organization, as you go through all that, you go through it better together because you have focused on the wellness and well-being of your relationships. Here are a couple really obvious and important realities about work. One, things take longer than I think they're going to. And two, things are more complex than I thought they would be. Now we have a choice. We can honor those realities, or we can ignore them. And they are ignorable for a while, but in the long run, they make their presence known if we don't honor them. How can we honor them? Well, here are at least three things we can do. Breathe more margin in and slow down. Expect things to not go the way you thought they would and adapt accordingly. And regularly focus on relational health so that the collective can work well together no matter what comes your way. Think about these three actions this week. Think about how you can apply them to your work with your team. Honor these realities, and they can actually increase the effectiveness of your own leadership as well as the effectiveness of your team, department, or organization. Ignore them at your own peril. This is Dave Fleming at the Ingenuity Lab.